want to welcome you guys to the Bristol Motor Speedway. I want to welcome you and thank you for coming out. I hope you have a good time. As you're out here, though, I want you to consider this. You're not out here on your own. You're out here and there's a God that knows everything that you're doing and seeing. Everything about your life, there's a God that's going to look at it, condemn it, convict it, judge it, or declare it to be righteous before His holy sight. It's totally up to God on which thing He does. But what you got to realize is, for the true Christian, for those that are called out to be like Christ, that are called out to be the men and women of God, that have been chosen out by God to serve Him and been convicted of their sin, drawn to righteousness, the Bible says this. John chapter 15, the Bible says, Jesus Himself said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. That's verse 1 and 2. And in this truth, you see that Jesus claimed to be God. He is the true vine. His Father is God the Father in heaven. He is the true vine. He's the mediator. He's the redeemer. He's the Messiah. He's the Lord. But He's also, according to God's Word, He's also the judge of the universe. He's the one that's been given the power and the right to judge by God the Father. God the Son has been given that right. But what you also have to know that if you claim to be a Christian and you claim to know Christ as your Savior, you will abide in Christ. It says this, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. What that's telling you is this, there are many people that claim to be Christians today and throughout history that have claimed to be in Christ. That doesn't mean they're in Christ, because many will say on that day, on the day of judgment, they will say, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in Your name? And have I not cast out demons in Your name? They will say, haven't I done many good works in Your name? And He's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. And what that means is, those that practice lawlessness. So you've got to ask yourself a question, how do you stand before a holy God? Just because you come out to the Bristol Motor Speedway doesn't make you a Christian, it doesn't make you a pagan, but why do you come out here, and do you come out here rather than go to God's house? Would you rather be out here than you would with the people of Christ? If you claim to be a Christian, evaluate yourself by yourself, and you will get nowhere. If you claim to be a Christian, look at all the people around you, and the only thing you're going to do is confirm that you're just as good as everybody else. But if you stand before a holy God on Judgment Day, which you will, what's He going to say about your Christian testimony? What's He going to say about your walk? What is God Almighty going to say about your life? Will it be wood, hay, and stubble? Or will it be refined brass and stone and silver and gold? You see, there's none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned, but that doesn't clear any one of us. That just makes us all equally guilty. You see, if you stand before a holy God and He judges you based on His perfection, and He asks you this, He won't ask you a question because He knows all the answers. But if He does check you and ask you, and He opens the books as according to Revelation, and He looks at your life, think about this. Will you be guilty of being a liar? Have you ever told a lie? You see, the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Now, if you can honestly say that you've never told a lie, I want you to raise your hand and tell me that you've never told a lie. You see, you can't do it because all men are liars. We all, in our own pride, have a heart of deception. In our own pride, we desire to be looked upon favorably, and we cannot stand being told that we're wrong. We can't stand being told that we have done anything that would be wrong. We cannot stand to be looked down upon. We can't stand it when others look upon us and they do not approve of us. So we try to puff up ourselves and make ourselves look better than we actually are. We try to stand up and act like we're better than we actually are. I couldn't get it over. Every one of us, we stand before our own mankind and we want to look good in our own sight. The problem is you know that when somebody lies to you, you get angry. You get upset. But what about the holy God, who's the good God? Who's the great high king? Who's the Messiah? What about the only God in the universe who's the righteous judge? If He's a holy God, this God you say you know, if He's a holy God, will He not do the right thing? You see, all liars will have their part in a lake of fire, but the Bible says He will not clear the guilty. In no way. So if you stand before a holy God, how are you going to stand before Him and not be condemned? We've only looked at one of God's standards. Have you ever taken God's name in vain? Think of this, ladies and gentlemen, as you're out here at the Bristol Motor Speedway. Have you said, oh, I'm a Christian, yet you do not have never come to repentance, you've never lived up to God's standards of holiness, you've never done anything in righteousness, you've never been drawn to repentance, you've never been compelled in godly sorrow to recognize that there's only one holy God? Think of this, ladies and gentlemen. When you stand before a holy God in righteousness, how will He declare your case? Have you ever said the OMGs? The oh my goshes? Or maybe you're one of those churches that run around doing the Harlem Shake and blaspheme the holy God by saying this is the standard that God has for worship. Maybe you're one of those churches that run around and says this is acceptable before the Lord. This is what God accepts as worship. This is what God desires in His holy house. You see, the Bible is clear that judgment begins at the house of the Lord. And if judgment begins at the house of the Lord, what's it going to be like for those who do not know Christ? You see, He says He's going to come with His winnowing fork and He's going to take away all those that stand against Him. He's going to take away all those that stand in rebellion to Him. But what you have to know is the Bible declares that we're all enemies of God in our minds. The evidence is the fact that we sin against the holy God. The difference, beloved, listen to me. The difference today is, does God convict you of your sin? Or do you boast in it? Does God convict you of your wickedness and blasphemies? Jesus Himself said this. You've heard it said of old, you shall not commit adultery. He said, but I say unto you, if you've looked with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. How many of us can say we've never done that? How many of us can say we've never looked at someone else? Did you hear that? How many of us can sit here and honestly say we've never looked at someone else with a sexual desire? We've never looked at someone with a desire that is only meant for a husband and wife. You see, according to God's standards, if you even look with lust, you're an adulterer at heart. You see, this society today, in America, around the world, not just America, but maybe even in your own hearts, we're trying to soften up God's standards of righteousness. We're trying to say that lying is not that bad. And we're trying to say that God is not that good. We try to say that homosexuality is fine, it's no problem. You see, what we try to say is that we can be Christian and be homosexual. Listen to me. If you are living a lifestyle of adultery in any form, homosexuality, and you living that lifestyle of sheer, wanton, outright rebellion against the Holy God, you're not in a right relationship with Christ. He calls you out to repent because it is wickedness in His sight. When you look at a woman with lust, sir, ma'am, when you look at someone with lust, gentlemen, if you look at a man with lust, ladies, you look at a woman with lust, it's called adultery of the heart. And God declares that it's also an abomination before His holy sight. He says don't lie because He's the unlying one. He says do not covet it. Covet what is your neighbor's because He's the provider of all good. Because He is the great provider. He says, do not the sparrows, are they not all taken care of? Yet they do not toil. He says to you, trust in Christ, trust in God, because He's the great provider, and we covet that which does not belong to us. He says unto you that you should never, ever, ever take His name in vain, because He's the Almighty Creator. He says He will not hold you guiltless for that one sin. And you say, oh, I'm doing a really good job. Well, He says if you've kept the whole law, yet you offended at one point, you're guilty of all of it. Now, maybe you're a Christian that says, Oh, I'm under grace, I'm not under the law. Grace makes no provision for you to wantonly sin. Grace does not give you the right to sin. Grace keeps you from sinning, and when you do sin, it convicts you and compels you to hate the sin you used to love. So today, if you say you're a Christian, and you still stand in your wanton sin, you're a liar. There's no Christian in you. If you rebelliously walk your lifestyle against the Holy God, and you do that which is not right in His sight, if you rebelliously walk against the Holy God, you are not abiding in Christ. You are not in the true branch. You are a rebel against the Holy God, and you've just made religion out of Christianity. It goes on to say this. The Bible, Jesus Christ, in John chapter 15, verse 3, says, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." He says to the people of God, to His chosen people, to those that He's called out and convicted and condemned and crushed and drawn to true salvation by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. He says to them, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. When you stand before a holy and just God, will you stand clean and right in His sight because of what Jesus Christ did, or because you chose to come to Him? Will you stand before a holy God because you did some great work of repentance, or because God compelled you to godly sorrow, which works repentance? Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, those of you that are inside of Christ and outside of Christ, does God compel you to seek to save the lost? Does God compel you to go looking for your family members? If you're in Christ, then you have no choice but to obediently follow before a holy God and rush after with all your heart to seek lost family members. We are going to be, for the rest of eternity, a family unto Almighty God. We're calling you out today, both Christian and non-Christian, to repent and believe the gospel, to trust in the work of Jesus Christ and Him alone. For it is His glory and His righteousness, His greatness, His holiness that convicts men of sin, that draws men to righteousness. It is Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, who alone is the Savior of this world. Buddha can't do it for you, Muhammad can't do it for you, and you can't do it for yourself either. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me as you're coming through here. I want you to enjoy the race, but don't enjoy the race at the cost of your almighty soul, your immortal soul. Think of this. When you stand before Almighty God, your immortal soul, for the rest of eternity, will be declared righteous or wicked. There's only one judgment. It's either found at the cross of Jesus Christ, where He was crushed and condemned for your wickedness, and you were declared righteous because of His righteousness, where Jesus Christ bore the wrath of Almighty God, or you are unclean, you are unrighteous, you are unholy, and you're the wicked. Ask yourself this question. How do you stand before a holy God? If God is good, will He judge you, sir, based upon a curve? Ma'am, will He judge your life based upon a curve? Oh, so He's going to look at you and say, "Oh, your good outweighed your bad." That's blasphemy. Because I'll tell you what, you don't have any goodness in you. None of us do. The Bible declares all of our righteous deeds are as filthy rags. It must be Jesus Christ and Him alone, His righteousness lived out in your life. Your wickedness given to Him upon the cross, whereby Christ became our intermediary. He became our mediator. He stood in our law place. He took our wickedness and He imputed our wickedness unto Himself, and He bore our law place. Jesus Christ alone stands for your righteousness, and He takes your law place and He makes you right in the sight of a holy God. If you believe that, are you sharing the gospel? You see, any man that runs around and says, "Oh, I believe in salvation through Jesus Christ alone," but is too much of a coward to say anything, is a liar. If you cannot and will not witness to your fellow Christians and to your fellow lost pagans in this world, if you don't have enough gumption about you to stand before this world and stand up and declare the gospel, then what type of Christian are you? If you don't love your friends enough to warn them of the judgment to come, what type of Christian are you? You say, "Oh, I'm a pastor." Well, congratulations. I'm glad your pulpit is warm. What about those that are lost in this community? What about those that are lost that are walking up and down this place? Do you have enough gumption, enough boldness to stand up and proclaim the gospel to the lost here? Are you man enough to stand up and boldly declare that your master is Jesus Christ and all men are compelled and called to repent and believe the gospel? Do you love Christ enough? Do you want to see Him glorified enough that you're willing to give a message of repentance and faith? He says, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." Paul said, "The words that I have spoken to you, you're to speak to all the world." Paul says, "What you've learned from me, go and do that. Follow me as I make disciples in this world." My question for you, ladies and gentlemen, you claim to be of Christ. Do you blaspheme and say, "Oh, that's the pastor's job"? Do you stand and smack God in the face and say, "Oh, I don't need to be obedient"? Do you stand in unrighteousness and declare yourself to be good enough while all the people around you are not coming to heaven because your word? Because you won't stand and tell the truth. For you who are lost, listen to me today. The Bible says, if you claim to be a Christian, you're to abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus Christ said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." We trust in Jesus Christ alone, sir. We trust in Christ alone to compel you to salvation. This message I'm giving you, you may say, "Oh, he's yelling and he's angry." No, I'm telling you of Christ and his redemption. I'm telling you Jesus Christ alone can save you from your wickedness. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No thief and no blasphemer will enter the kingdom of heaven. It is through Christ alone and what he did upon this life. He was born of a virgin. Did you know that he came into this world born of a virgin? Did you know that she was not immaculately conceived, but he was? All around the world, we're seeing everybody from Rick Warren to Joel Osteen, Roma Downey, and all these people running around saying, "Oh, we have a pope. We have a pope." Ladies and gentlemen, I am a Southern Baptist and I do not have a pope. I am a Christian in the line of the Protestants. I am in the line of the great reformers. I'm here to tell you, as a Reformed Baptist, I do not have a pope, but I have a Savior. I have a God, and His name is Jesus Christ, the Lord of all creation. This God is alone the head of the church. This God, Jesus Christ, is your Messiah, your Redeemer, your Mediator, or He's your Judge. I'm telling you today that you will stand before Him whether you believe it or not. I'm telling you today that if you are a liar and a thief and a blasphemer and a sinner against Almighty God, He will judge you. Or He will make you clean in the sight of Almighty God through Jesus Christ. Do you know this Christ today? Do you know, sir, that Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord? Have you been drawn to repentance? Has godly sorrow brought you under the weight of conviction? You see, Jesus said that in John chapter 16, Jesus said this, verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you this truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you." This is the Holy Spirit. He says, "But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and the judgment. Of sin, because they are not they do not believe me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you have seen me no more. Of judgment, Because the ruler of this world is judged. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. I want you to think of the implication here. Ma'am, while you guys sow, while you guys are going to this race, I want you to think that one day you will stand before a holy God. He right now has sent the Holy Spirit in this world to convince you, convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. You say, I don't believe in this God. I don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Well, let me ask you a question. When somebody lies to you, sir, how do you feel about it? Sir, when somebody lies to you, it offends you, doesn't it? How much more the holy God of the universe? You see, all standard of righteousness comes from Him. And He says, you shall not bear false witness. He says, all liars will have the sign of the cross won't help you. The sign of the cross won't help you. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, is our only mediator. He's the only mediator between God and men. It's not Mary. It's not Catholicism. It's not Rome. It's not keeping the sacraments. It's not doing any of those things. The only thing that will help you is repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ alone who came to this world to convince the world by the power of the Holy Spirit of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And unfortunately, you have to stand before a holy God. If you stand before Him in wickedness, He will judge you, sift you like wheat, and He will have no tears for it. Because He's begging you today to repent of your sin and believe the gospel. How about this? Have you ever taken God's name in vain? How about lusting over women? How about coveting what does not belong to you? How about dishonoring your parents? How about this one, ladies and gentlemen? Jesus said the greatest commandment is this, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, you say, I'm a Christian or I'm a good person. Do you love God perfectly? Have you always loved God perfectly every moment of your life? Only Jesus Christ can do that, because He's the only righteous man that's ever lived. The God-man, God incarnate, came into this world, born under the law, without sin, absolutely crushed by the weight of conviction, absolutely crushed by the weight of our unrighteousness, crushed by Almighty God, who bore the wrath of God in His own body, who took our law place, who lived an absolutely perfect life as our intermediator, as our substitutionary atonement, no matter what N.T. Wright says. No matter what any of these other men of God who claim to be of God, who demean God and His Savior, Jesus Christ. There is only one Savior. There's one propitiation. There's one atonement. There is one Lamb of God, and His name is Jesus Christ. It's not Buddha, Muhammad, Oprah Winfrey, Deepak Chopra, or Rick Warren. It's none of these wickeds that come around as wolves that tell you there's another way, that there's got to be many ways. There's only one way, and His name is Jesus Christ. Do you know this Christ is your Savior? Do you share the gospel with everyone you know? Do you give out this opportunity of salvation and command and compel all to repent? Sir, I'm glad you do. Please keep doing that. You think of this, ladies and gentlemen. All of us will stand before a holy God, and He's going to open the books up, and He's going to look at your life. He says, nevertheless, I tell you that when He comes, He will convince the world, convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment to come. Pastor, ask yourself this question. Are you loving God enough to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come? Or are you so happy with your position that you don't want to rock the boat? Ask yourself this question, ladies and gentlemen. What's God doing in your heart today? Since you've been hearing this message, have you learned to hate sin and love righteousness? Since you've been hearing this as you're walking through here, has God convicted you of your own sin? Has God compelled you to seek Him in repentance? Has God called you out? I pray He has. Listen to this. He says that He sent the Holy Spirit into the world to convince the world of sin and of righteousness and the judgment to come. You see, for those that abide in Christ, that have been drawn to repentance and faith, that have been called out and have a desire to repent, who have a heart to repent, who've been given a new heart under the new covenant, for those of us that have been called out, ask yourself this question. You say you're in Christ. You say you're of God. Do you tell anyone that there's a judgment to come? He sent His only Holy Spirit into this world to convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and the judgment to come. God, the only holy God, the only righteous God, the only good God, is the only righteous judge for your soul. He says that He has come into this world to convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Do you know that there comes a day when you will die? See, the ultimate statistic is this. 10 out of 10 people die, and they stand before a holy God. And you say, I don't believe in God, I don't care, what's the truth? Listen to your conviction. Liars and thieves and blasphemers, adulterers at heart, they will all stand before a holy God. Even good little people that tried to not do any sin. Only righteous in Christ. Only the righteous in Christ stand free. Have you repented of your sin and trusted in Christ as your Savior? Listen to Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and Him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone who is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Ladies and gentlemen, one day you will stand before this God, and He will open up the book of your life, and He will judge you based on everything you've ever done. Because you've done it in pride, in arrogance, in self-righteousness. You've never done it to the glory of God. You see, the Bible says, according to Scripture, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Have you glorified God in your life for one moment? For one second? Have you glorified God by your life? How about the pornography you're looking at and the lust you're going into and the drunkards and the alcoholism and the homosexuality and the support of such things? How about unrighteousness and wickedness before your family? Men, how about not leading your wives to the glory of God? Not compelling them to come to Christ? Not leading your children right? Not leading this country right? Not standing up for righteousness and goodness? How about not standing up for those things which God would have you stand for? How about not glorifying God in your hearts? Not sanctifying Him in your life? You think about this. Have you loved God perfectly the way He deserves to be loved? Have you loved God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Or have you been a blasphemer? Do you shun away from telling the truth of God? When somebody asks you, will you run with us and tell the gospel, hand out gospel tracts, or witness to your friends and family and loved ones and people here coming to this race, do you run away and hide? Are you more interested in the money you make or in the cash you take or the parties that you have, the Harlem Shake and everything else that you're doing? Or are you more interested in the glory of God and the people that are being crushed by sin, that are going to go to hell for eternity? Which one is it, ladies and gentlemen? You will stand before a holy God according to Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. You will stand before a great white throne, and He will judge you in righteousness, or He will declare you righteous by Jesus Christ. Which one is it for you? Will He judge you and condemn you? Will He look at you and say, Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Or will He declare you righteous in Jesus Christ? It says the books were opened, and every person that's ever lived will stand before this God and be judged by Him and condemned by Him for everything they've ever done. And every person in Christ will only stand there as righteous in Christ. You see, a Christian has no boast. There's nothing to boast in. You see, I don't possess righteousness. Righteousness possesses me. I don't possess holiness. The God of holiness has taken over me. If you are holy in Christ, if you are saved, it's because God saved you, not because you saved yourself. If you're righteous, it's because God declared you righteous, not because you made yourself right. Think of this, ladies and gentlemen. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you been drawn to repentance? Trust in Christ and live. Repent and believe the gospel. Trust alone in Jesus Christ. He is your only hope of salvation. Think of this, ladies and gentlemen. As you go out today, do you go out as righteous in Christ? Or as a liar and a thief and a blasphemer and adulterer at heart? Which one is it, ladies and gentlemen? Are you righteous in Christ? You see, only Jesus Christ can make you righteous. Because He's the only perfect mediator between God and man. It is not the Pope. It is not Mary or Peter or James or John or Justin or Tony or Bill or Jack, or Joe, or anybody else you can name. You are only righteous in the only mediator, our only kinsman redeemer. You see, in the Old Testament, there was a kinsman redeemer that was allowed by God, who was in your family line, who could take your place and pay for the debt that you could not pay for. But it had to be in your family line, ladies and gentlemen. This kinsman redeemer, according to God's word, is the only Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who came into this world, who was crushed under the weight of sin, who was crushed under the law as a perfect, righteous, spotless Lamb of God, who came to take away the sin of the world. He is our propitiation. That means He stands in our law place. That means He can take the wrath of God that's bore out upon you. Because the Scripture says, sir, that you're bearing wrath for the day of wrath. The evidence that you bear wrath for the day of wrath is that you sin against the Holy God. That you sin willfully and gladly. Lusting and lying and adultery, murder of the heart, hate, envy, all those things. It might be funny, but it ain't going to be funny one day. It might be funny that we talk about lusting. But you think about this. Has there ever been a moment in your life when you've loved God perfectly as He deserves to be loved? Has there ever been a moment in your life when you stood before God and you said, oh, I am righteous in myself? See, you can't get there from here. You must have a mediator. You must have an attorney that will stand as your intermediary to stand between you and the righteous judge, because He's the righteous judge of the universe. And He says that He will not in any way clear the guilty. Listen to this. See, the old people, the old pastors, the old prophets used to teach this. And they stopped teaching for fear of man. They used to tell people that there was only one God and only one mediator. And it was the man Christ Jesus. There's only one who can stand in your law place, who stands, but you have to know this. This Jesus, God has made both judge and mediator. So in other words, one day you will stand before Him as judge, or He will stand in your law place as your mediator, as your redeemer, as your lamb, as your Messiah, as your King, as your Lord. As slaves of righteousness, you've been set free from the condemnation of the sin of the world. You've been set free by Jesus Christ. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. We're not out here boycotting the race. I love the fact that you guys are coming here. I love the fact that you guys are walking along, because I get to brag about my God. I get to brag about my Savior, Jesus Christ. This country used to do that. We used to do that in our schools. How many of you guys, hey, raise your hand over there if you remember prayer in school. Anybody? Raise your hand if you remember when we used to open the Bible in school and we used to tell people about the standard of righteousness. You know what they do now? They hand out condoms. They talk about your sex change that you need to have at 5 years old. They talk about why it's okay to for mommy and mommy to be together, but it's a bad thing to have mommy and daddy. They talk about why you should all accept what God calls as pagan and wicked. You see, our country as a whole has accepted everything of Romans 1 as its platform, as its lifestyle. Ask yourself a question, ladies and gentlemen. What does God say about it? You see, we talk about abortion and we act like it's no big deal. Abortion is murder in the sight of a holy God. We take the life of a small, innocent child and we say it's our woman's right. Right to what? God is the only one that gives us our right. Because we were endowed by our Creator with life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Ask yourself a question, ladies and gentlemen. When you stand before this holy God, will you stand before Him righteous? Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this. I hope you were convicted. I hope that you've been drawn to God. I pray that everyone that hears this will examine themselves in the light of the Holy God. Will examine themselves in the light of Scripture. Please this day, do not turn away and harden your heart. Listen to this message. You see, everybody hates a prophet when he comes in. Everybody hates it when a prophet comes in because that prophet tells the Word of God. Everyone hates it when a prophet comes to town because they mess up their program. Because only a prophet will tell you of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about somebody talking about the future events because I have no power to tell you what your life's going to be like. But I can tell you what, there is a God and His name is Jesus Christ and His Father, the Holy God of the universe, Yahweh, will judge us or He will condemn us or He will declare you righteous in His sight. Ma'am, do you know this God? Sir, do you know this God? Do you know this Christ? I pray that you do. Have you been drawn to repentance this day? Know Him as your Savior. Thank you.